when you join a group, you are consenting to that group's norms, you are consenting to that group's standards, and you are consenting to the consequences of stepping outside of those norms and standards. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Fast Forward Podcast. I'm excited to introduce this month's topic, and it is hope. But specifically, I'm going to talk about hope through the lens of change management models. Because what I found in my personal and professional life is that it is a lot easier for me to cultivate hope when I have something in mind that I want to do, number one. And number two, when I'm clear on how I can strategize to get there. When I am languishing in ignorance or despair, it's very difficult to feel even a glimmer of hope. But again, having that aim or that goal and having that strategy and action plan to get there, like I said, it's been very, very, very helpful for me. And I done been through a lot, y'all. So I'm kind of giving y'all the sneak peek behind the scenes look into how I've navigated some extreme changes. In particular, I wanted to cover hope because last month we talked about grief. And I didn't feel comfortable just leaving it on, hey, here are all the ways that you can experience grief as a leader without also giving the other side to grief. And for me, hope is the other side to grief because hope gives you the opportunity to plan for tomorrow. Grief by nature is present and past focused. So you focus on what you currently lost, and then you think more deeply about all of what that gave to you, how it impacted you, how it changed you in the past. Hope, however, is first and foremost future focused, and then it allows you to backward plan starting from the present to get to that thing that you're hoping for. Again, we're going to spend all month talking about it, and this is really cool because it's 5 Tuesdays in this month. So we get 5 episodes. And I decided to just use today's episode for a quick intro to talk a little bit more about my own story with hope and then introduce the 4 models that I'll talk about in the 4 subsequent weeks. So the 4 models that I'm going to discuss this month are going to be the action research model. I'm also going to talk about the competing values framework. And then I'm also going to spend time talking through Lewin's 3-step model. And finally, I'll talk through Tuckman's stage model. Again, you'll get very familiar with these terms. Y'all know I'm an organizational psychologist, so I work with these models literally all the time. But by the time we get through with this month, you're going to be a pro as well. I would encourage you, in addition to you listening to this podcast, to do your own research. A lot of these models that I discuss, they are very well known. They've been around for a very long time. And so you will be able to find a ton of research, case studies, and other applications that I think will really help you to get a sense of how it can be applied in your business and on your team. I want to start by talking through my own story of hope. Now, interestingly enough, I did not start out studying organizational psychology. I started my higher ed academic career studying sociology at the University of Michigan. Go Blue. And in studying sociology, it actually has been pivotal to my understanding of how to change companies because it started with me understanding how social groups and societies form. And I think that that was a very important genesis to this work because it's easy, especially when you're working in-house in org development or in HR, to only see things from the lens of your company and at best maybe your competitors. But the world is so much bigger than that. I see this quote all the time now, but even though history doesn't repeat itself, it does rhyme. And so the same things that form neighborhoods, cities, other companies, whole nations, those are the same things that impact how we shape companies, how we shape our individual careers, how we shape families, etc. So one of my biggest takeaways from studying sociology was this idea that we consent, whether we admit it or not, by choosing to be a part of groups. So whether that is you're in the group that lives in a certain place, you are in a group because you work at the same company, etc. When you join a group, you are consenting to that group's norms, you are consenting to that group's standards, and you are consenting to the consequences of stepping outside of those norms and standards. And I don't think we always think about it like that. And I'm bringing this up as a starter because a lot of the grief we experience And why we need to cultivate hope is because we don't always recognize that we have consented. And so when I think about my own life and career, part of why I've always been so open and so dogmatic about skedaddling when I saw something I did not agree with or making changes, whether that's changing careers, relocating to different cities, is because I recognized that the type of norms that I was consenting to did not match who I was. And when I realized that it was either going to be that I needed to conform to those standards or I needed to go find another place. Now, particularly for my entrepreneurs that are going to hear this, it's awesome because you get to create the standards of what you see. So if you notice, you know what, I'm still carrying some of the ways from the last job I worked, or sometimes you could be acting out of hurt and bitterness and grief over what you lost. And so a part of you cultivating hope in your company and for yourself as the leader of the company is going to be to cultivate the norms and standards that can make you become the best that you can be. Not just best in class, because that's best based off of what currently exists, but you probably are going to be cultivating something that has never existed or that the world hasn't seen in quite some time. So I want you to recognize the gravity of that responsibility. I want you to recognize the possibility and the opportunity that lies in your ability to create something from scratch. For my leaders who are working in-house in another company, while you have a more limited scope, perhaps, than an entrepreneur, you still have ownership of norms and standards. And that could be centered around rewards and recognition, how you communicate with one another, how you ideate and validate and affirm one another. All of those things are important to cultivating hope. So again, as we move through this month, I really want you to think, as I name these models and talk about these examples, see yourself in them. How can you begin to apply this right away? Now, last thing I'm going to say before I tell you a quick little anecdotal story about me and hope. If you find that you hit roadblocks in cultivating the hope that you know you need, start from where you can. Hope, I think sometimes we see hope as this overarching explosion of excitement and possibility. Sometimes hope is just a glimmer, and you have to cultivate that hope step by step, little by little. And it's almost like the sun coming up. So when you first think of sunrise, it don't start as the sun beaming in the sky. It starts by like a little line of light right at the horizon. And then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until you hit full sunlight. If that's you, that is equally as valid as the person who feels like they have the full runway to do what they need to do, because all of us will go through those cycles. So let me tell you what that means. I've talked in the past on this channel about how I cultivated my career like over time, and I did a major career plan. Like I want to say it was probably at least like a 10-year plan, maybe even head for 15 years back in 2012 or maybe 13. For my HR career. And at the time, I mean, I had maybe only like 20% of what I needed to create the type of career that I wanted. But I was so excited because I did my research. I found all of the gaps. I found what I had to start with. I saw opportunity and possibility. I saw all my weaknesses and all the things that I probably either couldn't get over or that it would take a lot of work. I even saw the threats. Right? That the fact like, hey, what I think I can accomplish, it looks like the world is changing. I might not be able to do that. Listen, being honest about that SWOT analysis for my own career was a game changer for me. And being honest about that is really what I think set me up to thrive, because I wasn't always intentionally executing that plan, but because I put so much time into crafting it from the beginning, and I felt so good about it, it was almost like that plan became a part of me. And even in the moments where, again, I was under duress or experiencing something and it felt like I was just kind of moving in another direction, I still landed on the major milestones because that plan was a part of me. So my parting thought for you all to consider as we move through this month is, what can you do to create a hope plan that is sticky enough that it can last through roadblocks, through threats, and through hurt and through pain? Because it's bound to come. There's no way that you're going to execute on a plan and it's just going to go 100% and nothing will ever go wrong. That's just not how life works. So how can you cultivate a plan that's so sticky that you can be able to push through whatever challenges you face to get it done? Part B to that is, how can you also make that plan flexible enough? So it needs to be as flexible as it is sticky, because life changes. You're not just changing and evolving and operating on your hope roadmap. The world is too. And sometimes things regress. Sometimes they progress. Sometimes you experience events you would have never considered. I never had entrepreneurship on my little life bingo card. That was not something that I cared much about. And now I'm still able to live out my dreams from that original plan I set in 2012, 2013, even though now I do it as an entrepreneur, because I was flexible enough along the way to meet the moment. So again, the parting thought and challenge question for you to think about and to process as we go through the episodes this month is, how can I make a plan that is sticky enough to push through challenges, but also how can I make a plan and a hope roadmap that is flexible enough that I can be able to meet the moment and still hit my milestones and my ultimate goal? Let me know down in the comments what you think. What are you considering as far as stickiness and flexibility? And of course, be sure to like, share, and subscribe. And I'm going to catch y'all in the next one. Get ready to go to work, because we're about to have a blast this month. See y'all soon. Bye.